We got a busy episode on tap here today. We're going to break down the Jets and Leafs craziness and drama that ensued earlier on. We're also going to break down the Vancouver Canucks and their big changes for their team and how they've already started on the right foot. Tough stretches right now for the Islanders and the Flyers. Flyers making the change. Will the Islanders at some point? McDavid and some news about him. Robin Leonard as well. All that and more is coming up right here on the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. Welcome in, as always, Tuesday, December the 7th, the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Kyle Grammard here. So I had a couple people reach out to me last week, and I appreciate those people. They messaged me and they said, "Hey man, great to see you back. Love the podcast." It was a two-hour episode. I'd missed a week with the CCMAs, which are the Canadian Country Music Association Awards. They were here. I work for a country radio station, so I was very tied up. So to kind of bring things back to the pod, I did a two-hour episode. Now, at the beginning, I said I wasn't going to do a two-hour, ended up turning into a two-hour. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore, unless I have someone else with me, because I listened back, and I know you guys said that it was good. I didn't think so. You know, I work in radio for a living. It's my full-time job. I also write on the side, and I do this podcast, and I do voice work, but, you know, I have a morning show that I do each and every day, and there's a certain standard that I like to live up to, and I don't think last week's was, and I think it just had to do with the longevity of the pod, and I remember going through it and looking at the time accumulating, and it was up to an hour 20 and an hour 30 and 40, and it just felt like it was dragging on for me. So these episodes getting between like 30 to like 40, maybe 45 minutes is kind of like peak for me. So that's where I'm going to kind of average in between, but I'm prepped today. I'm ready to go. I've got my notes, my talking points, and everything. I listened last week. I didn't like the product. I thank you for listening to it and for telling me that you enjoyed it, but I can do better. So I'm hoping today is going to be one of those episodes. First of all, make sure to follow ST Hockey Podcast, Instagram and Twitter, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. There's a lot of drama that took place over the last couple weeks. We will get to in a second here. Vancouver Canucks, Leafs and Jets, Islanders and Flyers. A McDavid take that I don't know a lot of you are going to like, but we're going to get to it. And I got to tip my cap to Robin Leonard for probably making one of the hardest decisions that he's had to make, knowing how much of an honor it is to be representing your country at the Olympics. We'll get to that later on in the show as well. Let's start with the hot topic right now that everyone is discussing, the Leafs and the Jets.
End to end they go. Sandin walks it in. Save made. Hellebuck. And now Sandin down and shaken up on the play. The Jets net. Grabbed off by Spezza. Pionk lost his stick. Spezza trying to work it out. Front pass was intercepted. And diving is Pionk. And then he'll get taken down by Spezza. And Spezza's knee may have come down on Neil Pionk.
You got both benches up on my left and my right. Coaches are having a piece of the referee. And this game has been escalating in physicality as it has grown. As the fans see the replay on the big clock, they don't like it. Spezza having words with the Jets bench and vice versa. Plays the game hard, doesn't he? In your face style of hockey, where he is among the league or team leaders in finished checks. This is one that the Toronto Maple Leafs would question. Leon Nita Sandin, who goes down, and then the response down, trying to get it without a stick. Look at the left knee of Spezza. That is also a very dangerous play. The second look from behind, and both teams not liking what's happening to them and reacting back against them. And again, right from the face-off, a penalty being called. Wayne Stim is out there giving it to Svechnikov, and this game is not simmering. It is starting to boil.
Havoc and eliminate them.
Simmons goes in on Morrissey. He got picked off on the way by Stanley. Now Morrissey and Simmons are into it. And now Stanley wants a piece of Simmons, so he comes flying in.
Stanley's going to jump in there because he doesn't want Morrissey to have to try and deal with Wayne Simmons.
amping up the crowd here a little bit.
So as you can hear there, a game ensued this past Sunday between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Winnipeg Jets. And things got chippy. Winnipeg coming out on top 6-3. Toronto playing on the second half of a back-to-back on the road. And some rough stuff. Some unfortunate injuries there to some players that we're going to get to in a second here. Before I go from team to team, because it's I am at heart a Leaf fan, but I try and stay as unbiased as I possibly can on this show because I don't want it to sound homery, right? I don't want to be a homer for a certain team and say, F this and F that, this team's awesome. That's not the way I want to consult myself here on the show. But I want to start with the source of the problems that ensued in this game. And you've heard it on other podcasts and you've heard other maybe people talk about it before. This game got out of hand because of the officiating. It just did. And there's no way around it. And listen, I'm not going to sit up here and I'm going to bark and say that it's been atrocious. It's been abysmal. It has been astoundingly horrific this year. But there have been missed calls. There have been even ups. There's been favoritism. And there's been targeting. And a night earlier, Toronto played Winnipeg. And I believe a player in Marcus Foligno was coming off the ice, got halfway over the bench, the whistle blew, a scrum happened, then he stepped back over the bench, and then fought a guy. No penalty was called. Nothing. Now I heard afterwards that he was technically one of the players on the ice, but he was leaving, and then came back on after. But I'm going to let that slide, because nothing bad ensued from that. And the referees got lucky with that one. Sunday, before I get into the specifics of the game, this is what so far has ensued from the conclusion of it. Rasmus Sandin took a knee on knee from Neil Pionk. He will be out 2 to 3 weeks with a sprain. Neil Pionk was suspended 2 games. There is still at this point a hearing in place for Jason Spezza for then coming at Neil Pionk, who was trying to clear the puck, went down, and Jason Spezza looked like he made contact with his knee upon Pionk's head. Wayne Simmonds, shortly after, tripped up a Jets player on the wing before a faceoff. He was fined nearly $2,500 for that, and then a cross-check afterwards. A couple fights ensued afterwards, and as of right now, Neil Pionk isn't going to miss any time. Sandin will miss 2 to 3 weeks. Pionk is suspended for 2 games. No injury. And Jason Spezza is awaiting a hearing right now with Wayne Simmonds getting a fine. That's the aftermath right now. If I get the update with Jason Spezza, I will tell you at some point. But that was what ensued after that game. Let's start with how the whole thing started. Rasmus Sandin comes out of the corner, gets a shot on net. Neil Pionk is coming towards him, tries to make contact. Sandin gets out of the way. Pionk sticks his knee out to try and make contact, catches him with a knee on knee. This is not the first time that Neil Pionk has caught a player with a knee on knee or done something in the aftermath. Sandin, again, needs to be helped off by 2 players off the ice. I do not believe there was a penalty called on the play. The play kept going. There was no penalty to begin with. I'm not even upset at the Jets, at the Leafs. There wasn't a penalty called on the play. Okay. Players on the Leafs don't like it. It's Jason Spezza. Comes on shift later. Leafs are down 5-3 at this point. Neil Pionk is going to clear the puck. Loses his stick. So the only way to clear the puck is to use his hand or his feet. So he goes down, tries to clear it with his hand. You can do that when you're in the defensive zone. Jason Spezza targeting for a hit as he goes down. Leans into it. Catches him with his knee to his head. You can't do that. Got a little too far. Jason Spezza, who has never been suspended before, doesn't have a history of suspension, in his 1,200 career games, has just over 500 penalty minutes. It's very minuscule amount of penalty time a player has played before. Later on in the game, Wayne Simmonds is trying to fight people, trying to get his team going, trying to go to Logan Stanley. Logan Stanley is 6'7". He's a big boy. He's not on that team for offensive ability. Let's just say he is a defensive defenseman. He is physical. He does not take to fight Wayne Simmonds. Doesn't take him. Referees are blocking it, but there's a lot of chirping going back and forth. Game continues on. Kyle Clifford's involved too. End of the game happens. Josh Morrissey's chirping, and the Jets are winning at this point 6-3. Wayne Simmonds drops the gloves to Josh Morrissey. Logan Stanley comes in out of left field as the third man, grabs Simmonds from behind, throws a couple punches. Simmonds connects with him with a couple punches, and then Logan Stanley puts his hands up like he has just knocked out Muhammad Ali. And Wayne Simmonds is talking to the ref, like, why are you holding me back? As Logan Stanley skates off on his own as the third man in, cheering to the crowd afterwards. He just left the game, and that's fine. Listen, you want to pump your crowd up. Like, I don't have anything against that. I don't. It would have made sense if you won a fight, but there wasn't really one. Let's start with the Jets. Listen, there was audio afterwards of the Jets beating the Leafs. And the audio came in afterwards, and Mark Scheifele says, "Ain't great beating the Leafs." It always is, especially the Leafs are one of the top teams in the league right now. The Jets have been struggling a little bit. They're about a 500 team. They are not in a playoff position. That's a big win for them. And maybe, and that's absolutely something that they build off of. It's a team building game. You win, you stick up for one another. All the boys are loving on Logan Stanley. Hellebuck plays well. Your guys stick up for Pionk. It's great. My only thought is, based on the magnitude of the way the game developed and how hard the Jets played, for that to be the outcome and possibly a building point for that team. Winnipeg's next game is against the Carolina Hurricanes, who are 16-6-1. The Jets over their last 10 games, 4-5-1. They've won two straight, though. They beat the Devils and the Leafs. Prior to, they were shut out by Arizona, lost to the Wild 7-1, shut out by the Blue Jackets, lost to the Canucks, who were reeling, Oilers, and Penguins. They lost about five straight games. A lot of their players haven't been what they've been built up to. You got super pumped after a win against the Leafs. And again, could be a rallying point. I just wonder if... I hope that's not the high point of the season. And you've got to remember, too, the Jets were at home, rested, playing a team coming off a back-to-back on the road, missing one of their best young wingers, and starting their backup rookie goaltender playing in his fourth career NHL game. My mindset is that what it takes to get up for a game? The Leafs on the road, back to back, missing Marner, starting Joseph Woll. Sometimes that's what it takes for a team to get going. But prior to that, you were losing games to Vancouver and Arizona. Now, the Jets are also a very good home team. Right, they're 9-3-1 on the year at home. Away from home, 3-5-3. You know, again, this is, I think, the type of game that, you know, a team can definitely bond around. Oh, and I didn't even mention the Pierre-Luc Dubois aggressively attacking from behind Austin Matthews for a good 15 to 20 seconds with a referee standing 5 feet away and doing absolutely nothing about it. Like, I'm sorry, but if Austin Matthews grabs Dubois from behind and starts ragdolling him like that, you're nuts to think he's not getting a penalty for that. You'd be sitting there be like, what is he thinking? What is he doing? Why is he doing that? And weirdly enough, nobody's asking that question. All I'm hearing from people is, Matthew's so soft. Wow, he doesn't even fight back or throw a punch. Yeah, he's the reigning Rocket Richard winner. He doesn't want to ruin his wrist. Pierre Dubois is a good player, but You're telling me right now the takeoff is Austin Matthews and Pierre-Luc Dubois, which, by the way, they both got two-minute roughing minors. Austin Matthews didn't have a chance to look at Pierre-Luc Dubois because Dubois had a hissy fit because Matthews was drafted ahead of him. Like, I don't know what the problem was there. Maybe Matthews said something to him. I don't know. The fact that they both got coincidental minors is just, again, this all plays back to the officiating and not handling the game properly. You're telling me right now that the worst player on the team can go attack the best player on the team. I'm not saying Pierre-Luc Dubois, but I'm saying hypothetically, Logan Stanley could have walked up to Austin Matthews, ragdolled him from behind for 15 to 20 seconds. Both of them would have gone off for 2 minutes for roughing. 4-on-4, you're missing Logan Stanley. One team's missing Austin Matthews. I'm sending out Kyle Clifford and Wayne Simmonds to just abuse the you-know-what out of Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler and Nikolai Ehlers and Kyle Connor. And just absolutely, if that's what the coincidental minor is, I'm doing that all day long. And apparently that's what you could do. So that's what happened. It's a regular season game. People questioning the Leafs' toughness. And I don't understand why. Because I think the Leafs not retaliating in that moment, because you'd think you're getting a power play. That's like, be honest here. That's why Austin Matthews did not react back. Because he's like, I'm getting abused from behind right now. I'm not doing anything. We should get a power play out of this. And both guys get sent to the box. You've heard it a million times. I don't have to say it. The whole game gets out of hand when that happens. Anarchy is allowed for the next 40 minutes in the game. So then the Pionk Niani ensues, no penalty. Spezza hits Pionk, penalty. Simmonds trips the guy at the blue line, I believe it's called, and then the fight at the end of the game. I don't know. I'm trying to be unbiased and I'm trying to defend the Jets there. And I guess they're sticking up and I know it's a big game and you want to get up for it. Maybe things are said and you're coming away with a victory and the other team starts getting chippy. So you push them back and say, hey, look up at the scoreboard. But I don't know. You're 12-8-4 on the year. You're not in a playoff spot. Or if you are, it's in a wild card. But like, going to the standings, Toronto's a point behind Florida for being one of the top teams in the league in their division. Winnipeg's tied with the Stars and have played two more games. The Blues are right on their tail. Predators are right there. Like, if I go to the wild card right now, like, they're barely hanging on to that last spot. It's a long season. All right, now I'll go over to Leafs side. I would have loved if the Leafs retaliated, but they didn't, you know? And is that a testament to their character? I don't think so. But let me play it out for you. Tell me if you wouldn't be upset in this situation. You play for the team. Game starts, your top player, your Rocket Richard winning center, gets attacked from behind by a good center, but not as good. Both guys go off for the exact same penalty when your player doesn't throw a punch or do anything about it. One of your best up-and-coming young defensemen takes a knee-on-knee from a player who has knee-on-kneed a player on your team before in Mitch Marner last year, scoring an empty net goal, or does something that almost injures one of the best young wingers in the game, who also wasn't playing in this one. Sandin is now out 2 to 3 weeks. Could have been a lot worse. Could have torn something. Could have been out for months. No penalty on the play. I've heard all the big media companies go on the radio and television the next day and say, this team's soft. This team's soft. They're not doing anything. They're sitting in their locker room thinking, oh, what are we going to do? Sorry, do you not think this team is not going to use this as motivation and beat the living you-know-what out of whoever on the scoreboard? They play Columbus tonight. Don't be surprised if the Leafs win this one like 5-6-2. I'm serious. Jack Campbell's back in net. You don't think they're not going to play for 36 or 7 or 8-year-old Jason Spezza, who threw a hit in this one on a player and retaliating for taking a knee on knee to a 20-year-old defenseman who has a history of doing this before. And again, got two games. Do you not know who's on the Leafs? The Leafs aren't tough. Wayne Simmonds, Kyle Clifford, Nick Ritchie, Michael Bunting can throw. David Camp, who also wasn't playing. Another super important player on this team. This is one of the hottest. They won 15 of their last 18 games. Or 15 of their last 19. That's still like 15-3-1 or 15-2-2. Oh, this is, you know, the Leafs are looking soft. No, they're exhausted. They're playing a rookie backup goalie on the second half of a back-to-back, missing one of the top wingers in the league and one of the best shutdown centers in David Kampf. And they're getting ragdolled again without the officiating doing anything about it. Well, that's playoff hockey for you. Right. It doesn't have to be. Because you know what that's called? Not hockey. You're going to sit there and look at me in the... You're going to sit there and with a straight face and think a player just going up to a guy for absolutely no reason, grabbing him and trying to ram his head into the ice, that's hockey? That's hockey. And sticking your knee out on a player cutting into the middle, not trying to hit him clean, stick your knee out, that's hockey.
Yep.
Do I think the Spezza hit on Pionk is hot? No. But at least he was going for a body check, and then Pionk was basically laying on the ice. The unbiased thought on this one, Spezza's probably going to get 5. Sandin's out 2 to 3 weeks. Leafs are calling up Alex Biega and some other dude to play on the fourth line. Because they're already missing Mitch Marner, who was also put on IR today. He's going to be missed the next 3 to 4 weeks with a shoulder injury because he bumped into Jake Muzzin in practice. I think this brings this team closer than ever together. You don't think that those guys now want to go play for those guys while they're out? Want to put this team in the best position possible? Going to throw a little weight their way? Like, if the refs aren't calling that, you don't think that they're just going to start going off? And what's funny is, I saw a lot being posted, the same referees in this game were the same refs that refed the series between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins in the playoffs when they didn't call anything on Boston and then Nazem Kadri made that hit on Jake DeBrusk. Same refs. I don't know what their problem is. I don't know if it's a coincidence or if they got a real issue with Toronto winning games, but something has to change. Because you can't sit here and blame either of the two teams. It's on the policing. It's on the referee crew to do something about it and manage the game better. And they didn't. And it risked a young, promising defenseman, which could have been a lot longer than 2 to 3 weeks, and they should thank their lucky stars. They made a mistake the night before with Foligno coming off the bench and fighting someone. Didn't suspend that. They got lucky. No one got hurt. But a guy got hurt. Neil Pionk almost ended up in the hospital. But it escalated to that because Pierre-Luc Dubois was allowed to just jump Auston Matthews from behind. And if you're sitting there calling Auston Matthews soft, turn around. Let me jump you from behind for 15 to 20 seconds while grabbing the back of your neck and trying to slam your face into the ground. And you not being able to throw it a punch. And tell me if that's soft of you that you're not able to do anything about it. Oh, also, you're on ice, and every time you try to get up, you keep slipping because you have no grip. The Leafs do what the Leafs do best. They try to beat you on the scoreboard. Auston Matthews isn't dropping the gloves with Logan Stanley or Pierre-Luc Dubois, for all that matter. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, for doing what you did, if the refs aren't calling it, do it again. I don't blame you. I don't. I don't blame I can't say I don't blame Neil Pionk, because sticking your knee out at a player is just, it's never something you want to do. That's not something we condone. But like, I'm also not condoning grabbing a player from behind, but like, you clearly got in someone's head. Anyways, we're waiting on the Jason Spezza news, but it's not even been a theme this year. It's been a theme for years. Call the book. We're going to talk about something that later on that did not get called. So players are going on the ice being like, I don't know what I'm allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do. So it's just anarchy, and the refs are figuring out what they want to call that night. And it's a game-by-game basis. It's never called the same. Like, at least in football, yes, there's a lot of penalties and pass interference calls, but at least they're all getting called. And then calls also get reviewed now. And they don't penalize a team for doing that. You get a you get a timeout taken away. You're not penalized at a 5-on-4 afterwards. So, I don't know. Be exciting to see when those two teams play again. Leafs came out on the worst end, both on the scoreboard and on the injury front. Winnipeg misses Pionk for a couple games. That's all that really happened to him. So, anyways, let's move on to the next subject here. Let's start with the Vancouver Canucks. And big news, Travis Green, gone. Jim Benning, gone. Announced over the course of the weekend. Benning's been with the team now, has held his position since 2014, along with hiring Bruce Boudreau to take over, assistant general manager John Weisbrod and assistant coach Nolan Baumgartner were also let go. The Canucks have been disappointing, is probably an understatement for the amount of moves. Now, I will say this in defense. I wouldn't put 100% of the blame on Jim Benning for this. Has he made mistakes? Sure. Louis Erickson, Jay Beagle, and Antoine Roussel were all signings by him. They were all abysmal. But he's also drafted very well. Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, Thatcher Demko, Brock Besser. He also made a trade for JT Miller from Tampa Bay in 2019. He also signed Brandon Sutter to a 5-year, $21 million deal. But then he kind of, I feel like he amended it. He signed Pettersson and Hughes to long-term deals, or Hughes at least. Pettersson got 3, and then got rid of Erickson, Roussel, and Beagle, and brought in Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland. Garland's second on the team in points right now with like 18 or 19 through 26 games. He's been good. Ekman-Larsson is not the player he once was, but he's a whole lot better than what Vancouver's had over the last couple years. He can play at least behind Quinn Hughes and be a reasonable player. He also got some cap eaten from Arizona on that trade. But Vancouver has just been rough this year. The record alone speaks for himself, owning an 8-15-2 record. I think they won last night, so I think they're 9-15-2. They've lost 10 of their last 14 games. Now, they won in Bruce Boudreau's debut, which we're going to talk about in a second. But I think just a change, just knowing, it doesn't even matter at this point who steps in. And I think Bruce Boudreau is a great ad. The fact that he wasn't a head coach at this point is kind of baffling to me. But I think anybody stepping into that situation is an immediate morale boost to this team. Because it just gets, you know, when you hear, like, the wheels are spinning, it's the same coach saying the same thing, it's the same GM saying the same thing over and over and over again. Also, Jim Benning is awful behind a microphone. Every time he talked about the, just to put it into context, he announced a press conference. And then when asked about why the team is struggling, he said, I don't know. That's like if you're in class and you put your hand up to answer a question, and then the teacher points at you and says, yes, Kyle? And I go, I don't know. And why'd you put your hand up? Why'd you call a press conference? Why did you arrange all this to then tell us you have no idea what's going on? It doesn't look good on you. It doesn't look good on the team. The players are sitting there being like, he knows nothing. He's an idiot. I'm not calling Benning an idiot, but I'm saying in that mindset, if I'm a player watching my general manager call a press conference and you're waiting for some bomb to drop and they ask him, why is your season not gone the way you wanted it to? And he goes, I don't know. I'd be like, what? Why did you agree to do this in the first place? So the team is owned by the chairman, Francesco Aquilini. The Aquilini brothers are the owners of the team. And, you know, I would say a lot of responsibility falls on them, too, for kind of letting things get to this point and keeping guys around. Like, yes, you want to give guys opportunities. You don't want to make rash decisions and quick decisions. But at the same time, after a few mistakes in a row and you being like, okay, this has happened now for the fourth time, a change needs to be made. So for the time being, Bruce Boudreau will step in as head coach for the team. I think he ended up signing a 2-year deal as well. Stan Smile will be in charge of the hockey operations in the interim as Vancouver searches for a new general manager. Apparently, some of the names include Ryan Johnson, Chris Gear, Daniel and Henrik Sedin, and Doug Jarvis are also in the day-to-day aides with the club for the time being. In terms of who's going to take over right now, there aren't a lot of names being thrown out. I'm trying to see if Elliot Freeman would have anything on that one, but as of right now, the search is on. I think Vancouver is just like, the whole management group just is going to take a step back and breathe. You got out from under it. You ripped the Band-Aid off. Let the cut heal for a day or two. Let it sit. Let the air circulate it. Start doing its healing process. Then start putting out some feelers. Find out who's in the running to be general manager. See what their long-term plan is for it. What changes do they want to make to the team? So right now, that's just, I feel like it's a wait and see approach for Vancouver. I mean, let's get to the good news story. Last night, Thatcher Demko and the Canucks, they blank the Kings. They go to 9-15-2 on the year, 4-0 victory. This is what Vancouver fans, not that they were expecting 4-0 shutouts every game. 4 goals from your offense. JT Miller with 2 points. He's been great. Brock Besser with a goal and an assist. Connor Garland with a goal. Pettersson gets a point. Horvat gets a point. I just wrote a piece on this on the Hockey Writers about the Vancouver Canucks. And their forward group has to be the reason that they come out of it. Their defense is okay. It's not great. Their goalie's good. Their goalie's going to make some big saves. Demko's going to keep his team in it. But this team has to score goals. And in Benning's defense, they've done everything that they can to put this team in a more balanced offensive system to succeed. You re-sign Pettersson. You have JT Miller locked up. Brock Besser has his pick of the litter of who he wants to play with. You've got a youngster, a sophomore in Nils Höglander, who put up 27, nearly 30 points last year. You've got this Vasily Podkolzin guy who's supposed to be just nasty. You brought in Jason Dickinson, who's been a disappointment, but he's your third, fourth line center who plays a depth role. And you've got Bo Horvat, your captain, along with Connor Garland, who is a 20 to 25 goal guy. There is no reason that this team should not at least be scoring goals. There's no reason whatsoever. And that is why I think Bruce Boudreau is a great ad for this team. Look at the teams that he has coached before. Washington Capitals, Minnesota Wild, when they were scoring goals with Parise and whatnot. The Caps with Ovi and Backstrom and Kuzi and that ridiculous power play that team had for so long. That's what Vancouver needs. Vancouver is all the talent in the world to be a better power play than they are. They're like 25th in the NHL in power play points right now. Defensively, he's going to work on it a little bit. But it can't get worse. They're on a pace to be the worst penalty-killing team in the history of the NHL since they've like really started studying it. They're killing like 64% of the penalties. It's god-awful. But I think that the best defense sometimes, depending on the team, the best defense is a good offense. Score your way out of it. Look at the Leafs in 2015, 2016, 2017. That team defensively struggled, but they were winning games. 4-3, 5-4, 6-4. They scored their way out of their problems. And especially when you are learning a new system and you're going to make mistakes, that's okay to do. That's not something you rely on, especially when you get into a playoff picture. But right now, Vancouver's not in a playoff picture. Focus, get back to the basics, put the puck in the back of the net, go from there. I think Bruce Boudreau's a great ad. He'll bring a little bit of steadiness to the offense. Let the offensive guys do what they're paid to do. Quinn Hughes has been cooking, JT Miller's been cooking, and Connor Garland's been cooking. Those are the three best offensive players right now. But Pettersson's got to get going. Besser finally picked up 2 points last night. He's kind of coming along right now. But let Bo Horvat do his thing. Pettersson, let those guys do what they're paid to do. Score goals. Stop worrying so much about defense. You've got great puck-moving defensemen. Say what you want, but Oliver Ekman-Larsson can move the puck. It's one of the best things for a defenseman. Give him an option to pass the puck. Don't trap him in your own end. Don't play bad defense as a forward. Hustle. Be physical. Get your stick in the way. Give your guys an option. We see so many defensemen. It looks so easy and effortless for them because their forwards give defensemen the option to make a play. And I think with Bruce Boudreau and all that, there is a pretty good opportunity for this team to at least show that they can turn it around. Whether they do it or not, we'll see. The last two articles have kind of been right up the alley for what this team has been going through. The first one was on Brock Besser needs to be better, and then the last one was just the entire forward group needs to be better. So go check it out at the Hockey Writers. Go to the Vancouver Canucks section. Let's quickly highlight a couple of teams that have just been absolutely not going the right way. Philadelphia Flyers, let's start with them. They've lost their ninth straight game last night. They fired head coach Alain Vigneault. They announced that they are going to be hiring Mike Yeo. He's going to take over on an interim basis and also dismissed assistant Michel Therrien. The Flyers, they hired Vigneault only 2 years ago, signed him to a five-year contract worth $5 million annually. Cut. Now, he was with the playoffs with this team in his debut season, but they did not qualify last year and have just been struggling mightily for the last few games or so. Looking at the Flyers team, this is another team, very similarly to Vancouver, made a lot of changes in the offseason. Voracek, gone. Cam Atkinson in, Ristolainen in, Ryan Ellison, Nolan Patrick gone. A lot of change to this team. And it just hasn't stuck. And the goaltending at first started out okay, and now it's struggling mightily. The Flyers right now sit behind the Devils and just 5 points up on the Islanders, but the Islanders have three games in hand. They're 1-7-2 in their last 10. It's been rough for this team. Going through stats, they're one of the worst teams in goals for. They're one of the worst teams in terms of goals allowed, averaging over 3.3 per game. Their leading scorer right now is Claude Giroux at 21-23. After Claude Giroux, the next point leader is Cam Atkinson with 14. Couturier 14, Konecny 12, Brassard 11, Joel Farabee with 10. Goaltending stats. Carter Hart nearing a 3 goals against and a 9.11 save percentage. Remember the hot start Martin Jones got off to? 3.41 goals against, 9.08 save percentage. Provorov only 8 points. JVR only 6 points. Ryan Ellis has only played 4 games and he's got 5 points. Ristolainen. There was a crazy stat. Rasmus Ristolainen, with everything that he dealt with in Buffalo, will be on his 8th head coach in his 9-year career so far. Yikes. The Flyers have all the pieces. They do. Ivan Provorov, Ryan Ellis on the back end, Travis Sanheim as well. Carter Hart's a young goaltender. He will get it right. He's like 22 years old. You've got Giroux, Atkinson, and Konecny, and JVR, and Couturier. Like, Couturier was talked about being a Team Canada representative. I don't know if he is anymore. But they have all the players in the world. This is not that different of a team that went to the playoffs 2 years ago. Carter Hart was the goalie. Claude Giroux was still here. You still had Provorov. You still had Sam Hine. You still had JVR. You still had Konecny. Not a lot has changed. Yes, you. Jacob Voracek's gone and Cam Atkinson is in. That's a swap. But like, I don't know. Gostisbehere's not there anymore, but Ristolainen, you could say he's better, but then Gostisbehere's having a great year at Arizona. He scored again last night. Beautiful goals. Fourth of the year. It's going to be that team is very similarly to Vancouver. All the makings to turn things around. You've got the players, you've got the pieces, you got the goal, you got the young defenseman, you've got some forward depth. They just got to put it together. But right now, it's a mindset thing. Toronto went through it earlier in the season. Islanders are going through it still. Every team goes through it. Winnipeg went through it. They're kind of going through it. Before that win against the Leafs, they were getting shut out by by the Yotes. They lost to Vancouver, who was struggling mightily. Every team goes through it. If they get something going, the team has a chance. But right now, it's they clean house. Vigneault gone. Mike Yeo in. Michel Therrien gone. So we'll see how this team goes. And then another team, the New York Islanders. 11th straight loss. Have yet to win in their new stadium yet. And I think that the league and time has just finally caught up with these guys. I've said it for a while that I think they were one of the best coach teams in the league. They always played hard. They were physical, despite not really having any like superstar players. Like Barzal is like, he can be a star, but you wouldn't say that based on his production. 13 points in 20 games. It's good. It's what Cam Atkinson's doing. 14 points in 21 games. This is insanity to me. The New York Islanders only have two players with double-digit points. I'm going to say that again. Matthew Barzal and Brock Nelson are the only two Islanders players that have 10 points or more. Josh Bailey has 7. Beauvillier has 7. Palmieri has 7. Pageau has 6. Barzal's 13. Brock Nelson has 11. Those are your leading point getters. No wonder you're not winning games. It caught up to them. The whole narrative about we don't need Tavares, we don't need our superstars, we got a bunch of good players and they play hard together. And it sucks because the Islanders are a team that you could always look to and be like, see, you don't need to be a star player to be an impactful player. Because it was a team full of not superstar players, but good players who worked together. I don't know if this goes to show of how important Jordan Eberle was to this team, but, you know, Anders Lee in playing 15 games has 4 points. They're all goals, but it's just 4. Ryan Pulock, who you just signed to this big contract, 2 points in 12 games. Kiefer Bellows is supposed to be a young guy coming up. It has been tough sledding for this team. Goaltending. Amazingly, they've lost 11 straight games. Ilya Sorokin has a 249 goals against and a 925 save percentage. He's not the problem. Not scoring goals is the problem. They are 31st in the NHL. 1.9 goals a game. 1.9. Their shooting percentage is dead last. They're shooting 6.7%. It's awful. It's awful. But like, and goals allowed is middle of the pack. Shots on goals like 22nd. Penalty kills 12th. And they don't take a lot of penalties. It is wholeheartedly goal scoring. They need firepower. They made some moves. They brought in Zach Parise and they brought in Kyle Palmieri to stay and Eberle left. But, you know, a lot of people thought the Islanders were just going to pick up right where they left off last year, going all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals against Tampa. And then Tampa just had better players. That's the thing. I still think they play hard. I still think they play well. They're just playing against better players. Like teams, like their last game. I'm just gonna go to their schedule here, and just go through the teams that they've lost to, and who has the better player between the two teams. It'll basically be Matthew Barzal versus Chicago. Well, Chicago's Patrick Kane, so I'm gonna go Chicago. Red Wings. Say what you want, but the Red Wings right now have, you know, Mort Seider and Lucas Raymond and Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi and. No, they're playing better right now. You know, San Jose, say what you want, but Sharks have Logan Couture, who has like 20 points in 24 games. I'll keep going. Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang, the Rangers. I don't know, Panarin and Zibanejad and the Leafs. It's Matthews and Tavares and the Flames. Gaudreau and Mangiapane. And you notice a pattern here? They never have the better player. Now, yes, when you go to Edmonton, Edmonton's always going to have the best player when I do that. But like a team like Minnesota, who has like Kirill Kaprizov, right? When you put Minnesota against Toronto, you'd be like Kaprizov or Matthews. And you're like, eh, like you can go either way with that one. There's not a whole lot either way with the Islanders. And I just think it's finally catching up to them. That you don't have that star player to just win you a game. Get you out of it. Like, score the pretty goal. Like, it gets exhausting. Driving the net, scoring rebounds, deflections, bank goals from behind the net. It gets exhausting doing that over and over and over again. I get it. I get that. That's tough. And eventually, you just get tired of it. And you just want a guy to dazzle. And Barzal can... This is the hard part. Barzal can dazzle. He was so good in the playoffs last year. He was, I talked about this word, he's a killer in the postseason. But I just think he's the only guy on the team that could even kind of do it right now. And it's just wearing because he's like 23, 24 years old. And he's like, I need someone else with me. So whether they not, I don't think they need to make a change coaching wise, but they got to get it. They got to get someone. They got to make a move. Go to a team right now who's struggling. Go make a move for a star, a playmaker, someone that's going to help give a spark to the offense. Because this team right now is just submarining down to the bottom of the standings. Before we get into a couple quick hits, I want to touch on here the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid, they played in a game. They lost to the LA Kings. It was like 5-1 last night. And Connor McDavid, frustrated, goes in and gives Adrian Kempe a shot from behind in the boards.
Anderson. Oh, big hit on Kempe by Connor McDavid. And that's going to be a boarding penalty.
And, you know, from our vantage point here, you could see that face go right into the glass, and he's leaking. He got shaken up on that one, no question about that. He's going to get up on his own two skates and head over to the bench for some repairs.
Now, after the play, Connor McDavid was assessed a five-minute major penalty in a game misconduct for boarding Adrian Kempe during the loss. 5 minutes in a game. He's also done this before, 3 years ago, back in 2018. Connor McDavid, January 25th, 2018, after a shootout goal, went out of his way, was handed a game misconduct for going out of his way, going to the pointing to the booth upstairs after scoring a goal in the shootout and making a big scene and kind of rubbing it in the refs' faces. And he was given a game misconduct. Now it was in a shootout, so it didn't matter. But he's also hit someone from behind before, too. It's not the first time. News came out today that Connor McDavid will not be facing any discipline for boarding. Now, listen. You could tell he didn't mean to do it. You could tell that immediately afterwards he knew he had done it. He was going to go serve. But it's all back to calling the game. The refs actually did the right thing here. And the league. What's the disciplinary guy? Is it George Parros or whatever? Whatever his role is. I saw something that got posted saying like the head of the NHL player safety department, that's the position by the way, used to be a fourth line enforcer fighter who has a book out, and it's something to do with like knuckles on something, like it's describing punching something, and that's the head of your player safety department. I'm not saying McDavid needs to get suspended, but like that came out immediately after that. He's good. And a hit from behind and the game misconduct and the five-minute major was enough. Basically, the point of this is just my utter confusion with where it's going. Because the league has suspended star players before. Has. Suspended star players. It's suspended Ovechkin for hitting a guy. He's a big hitter. He's hit a bunch of guys before. He's gotten a little reckless. He's been suspended for a game or two. You got to show that you're going to do it to everybody. Again, I'm fine with him not getting it. Basically, I'm confused. It's closer to the end of the game. They're losing 3-1 at that point. But, like, Kempe was bleeding from the head. Like, it was a pretty big hit. Like, Kempe's bleeding from the face. I mean, it's poetic justice because he scored immediately after. And then the Kings went up, 3-1. And then Trevor Moore added 2 goals. And then they ended up winning 5-1. You got a lot of people who know a lot about the game of hockey who are just sitting there staring with their hands over their head being like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you want me to say about it. It's in the rule book. You're not allowed to do that. And if you have a prior instance of doing it in the past, you are susceptible to a suspension. But depending on who you are, you might not get a suspension. And, you know, player who plays 1,200 games and has 500 penalty minutes, you're going to get a minimum 5-game suspension. And player sticks his knee out on a player for the second time in the last couple of years is only going to get 2. And it's all over the place. So the confusion is right up there. But McDavid's good. He's not doing it a ton. It's frustrating. You're losing in the game. The Kings are a tough team to play against. He's not going headhunting the next game. I'm sitting here. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. The Leafs play tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. Is someone going to get rammed from behind? If someone pokes a stick out and catches someone, are they going to get us? I don't know anymore. So last thing I want to get to quickly here before we finish off the podcast. Robin Lehner came out yesterday and he announced that he has turned down his invitation and opportunity to play for Sweden at the upcoming Olympics in Beijing. He added that he and his psychiatrist decided it was in his best interest not to go for health reasons. He made a big post about it and he basically said, like, this is as difficult a decision as I can possibly make, but at the end of the day, this is what's best for me and my mental health. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go represent my country. Give this man a bigger platform. Honestly, you think about all of the players who would kill to play for their country after missing it 4 years ago because of the dispute between the IIHF and the NHL player safety or whatever, the NHL in general. So for a player to turn down, and Ullmark would have been battling for the starting position. I think it goes to Jacob Markstrom regardless, but like he's there. Like he's easily the number two goalie. The other two guys are Linus Ullmark and Anton Forsberg. He's going. He's a lock to be on the team. Whether he starts or not, doesn't matter. But being there with your teammates, for him to come to that decision with a psychiatrist and then make the public statement, weighing the pros and cons and talking and being open about that, it's got to be one of the hardest things that he's probably ever had to do. One of the first ones would be coming out and admitting that he deals with mental health issues on a daily basis. So I just wanted to commend Robin Lehner for speaking out and announcing that decision and not hiding behind it or trying to not make, just coming out and saying, listen, there's been a lot of thought about this. Me and my psychiatrist came out and we decided that ultimately for my health benefits moving forward, I think it's better if I stay here and don't go. This is why, this is this. And he kind of explains everything. And I got to give him his props when they're due, because that, I can't even imagine how difficult. You hear about guys like Evgeny Malkin and Alex Ovechkin who literally were debating leaving the NHL and risk getting suspended to go play for their country. And even the Capitals and Penguins were like, yeah, go. Like, we get it. Like, we're not holding you back. They're holding you back. And they almost did. Like, they almost did. But there's a lot of love there to want to go represent your country. There's a lot of pride. There's a lot. You want to go win a gold medal. Like, that's one of the biggest honors ever. Like, people still talk about Sidney Crosby's goal 11 years ago in Vancouver. It's one of the still most talked about things in hockey history. It's a big deal. So I got to give kudos to Robin Lehner for coming to that decision. I can't even imagine how difficult it was. Good for you for looking out for your mental health. And it's just a lesson to everybody out there going through it. Like, you don't have to spend a Saturday at work working on that project. You don't have to do the extra credit. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You can take a beat and say, you know what, as big of an honor as it is, and I'm flattered, and it would be great, and I have an opportunity to this. Like, maybe it's better not to take the promotion at work. If it's going to mess with your mental health, look at me. I took 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, I took the week off. I had way too much going on. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. It was a lot for me. And I took the week off and I came back and I felt way better. I was less busy. I had a lot less going on. And then I did. And then I resumed the pod. It's okay to step away. It's okay to say no. It really is. I got a lot deeper than I thought it did, but that's why we need more people like Robin Lehner in the league. So kudos to you, Robin. Appreciate the honesty and the incredibly difficult decision that was. Before we head on out, quick news, 3 stars of the week, Florida Panthers, Jonathan Huberdeau. I think he had like 9 points in 3 games. He had a goal and like 8 assists. Victor Hedman had like 7 or 8 points too in 4 games. And then Jake Gensel had like 5 goals this past week. NHL 3 stars, Jonathan Huberdeau, Victor Hedman, Jake Gensel. Good on you. And, you know, lastly, a little bit of a tidbit here. It appears Anton Khudobin maybe on the trade market. The Dallas Stars have been testing the trade market to see what they can get in return for a veteran goaltender. This was on Sportsnet's Jeff Merrick reporting on 32 Thoughts, the podcast. The Sabres are a team that's interested. Right now, you've got Braden Holtby. He's been playing really well for Dallas. Dallas has, by the way, turned it around. They started off really cold. Their guys are scoring goals. Their goaltending is getting better. Defensively, they're tightening up. Jake Oettinger, who I talked about, who's like clearly their best option, he's kind of going back and forth and has looked like he's edged out Khudobin right now. So Dobby could be on the market for a team looking for a backup, looking for a stable number two guy who can play on a string and run of games. And they got a good team and a good market. You know, that could be a good pickup for probably really cheap right now, too. He's not coming off the Stanley Cup run that he had with Dallas a couple years back. He's kind of the third string. He's been relegated. Like, you probably get him for like a third, fourth round pick and be pretty happy with the return that you get for him. So we'll see what happens in that over the next little bit. All right, that about does it for me on the show today. Hopefully, I think it went a little bit better than last week, but you know, we're coming up on the hour mark, so half the time and, I don't know, hopefully twice as good, right? Follow along on Instagram and Twitter at SD Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. The Hockey Writers, the latest stories out with the Vancouver Canucks. I have 2 out, 1 on Brock Besser, 1 on the forward group. We'll see if changes come for them. Pumped to see when the Jets and Leafs play again. Here's hoping we're not talking about the referees next week. That about does it. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll see you next Tuesday. Until then, it's a wrap.